initialize sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
I used to bring my wireless earbuds to listen to John and Troy while we were sitting at the game.
Such a nerd.
My wife is a very talkative hockey fan. Thinks she knows the game.
Elevate!
I'm like, you know like three terms. Stop.
What are you talking about?
Thinks she knows the game? You gonna diss your wife like that?
She knows some.
She knows the game.
Yeah.
Elevate! Get back in your net.
Like, she's unbelievable.
Now you're trash talking your wife.
And so.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
She's a goof sometimes.
So I had the headphones on listening.
Yeah.
I had one ear off so she could talk to me, and I was tweeting at the same time while I'm watching the game.
Shocking.
And she's like, here's the deal. Either talk to me, tweet, or listen. You can't do them all. Like, I could go by myself if she was not available. I love going with her. But
well, so you'll sell her ticket for game six, but you wouldn't sell yours.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Man, that's just me.
But, like, if I was there by myself, I'd put the headphones on.
You might
I'd
be listen. On Monday.
I'd be tweeting. Yeah. That's a good point.
As for friends and family, Chaz Michaels walks it alone.
That's why they call me the Lone Wolf.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Scores!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap and Haw on the air. Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus. He is David Haw, Natalie attired in a Carolina Panthers shirt. I'm David Kaplan.
It's my ode to Ron Rivera and Cam Newton and Charles Tillman.
Luke Kuechly, leave that behind?
Yeah, we traded shirts. I gave him a Comcast Sportsnet polo,
shirt, yeah.
And he gave me this.
The Panther one.
Yeah.
Mike Jacobson is our great executive producer and the leader of the herd here at Tribune Tower. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. PG-13 Pakistel, our great director.
Is this The Herd? Isn't that a different channel?
Oh, yeah, that is.
Okay. Sorry.
Ask Jen. Shh. Jen Latta.
Morning, Cap.
What
a dreary, awful day outside.
Oh,
I'm sick of this
chill
weather.
Chill out. I'm playing golf this afternoon.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's not raining.
Bring your umbrella.
Not
do you have a fancy golf umbrella with that fancy golf shirt you got going there?
I don't.
Okay.
Not a golf umbrella guy.
Do I have to salute you before we start the show? Captain, sir? Aye, aye, sir?
That's it.
And people can't see that you're wearing white pants, Captain.
I am.
Captain with a K.
Golf pants.
All right.
Ready to go.
Ready
Rock
to go.
And roll.
You're going to golf this afternoon as your means of unwinding, relaxing, anticipating game five tomorrow night in Tampa. A little bit of anxiety going there.
Yes, and I'd like to invite people to watch the game with me. I'm going to a bar tomorrow night to watch the game.
You are? Is this an appearance or is this just a Cap family outing?
It's a Cap family outing.
So you're inviting people to come along
for
the ride?
Wife and I are going. The kids are going.
Good.
They're all 21.
Good.
And we will be at Kenny's in Countryside tomorrow night. Kenny's in Countryside. Come watch the game with us.
That sounds like
it's not an appearance. My friend Jack Hoffenkamp owns Kenny's.
That sounds like a tremendous way to watch the Blackhawks. I will be there.
Jacked.
Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the game. Traveling there, you know.
Whoa. Did my phone on. Huh?
That's a fine.
That's Chelsea
or something.
Chelsea Decker.
That's at least it's an appropriate time of year to have that as your ringtone.
Correct.
You could have Waiting is the Hardest Part as your ringtone. Because that is right now
what I said that
all
to you this
Chicago
morning. We need
in.
That song. Waiting is the Hardest Part.
Yeah, the sort of wait mode. What is the mindset
is the hardest
now?
You know,
part. Yesterday, don't sing. Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, sing during the breaks. No, please don't do that either. So yesterday we heard from Joel Quenneville. We heard from Jonathan Toews. I'm still curious what Tampa is going to do with Ben Bishop. The talk down there is that there's kind of two minds. The kid, the kid from Ufa, Russia, Vasilevsky.
Andre Vasilevsky.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the moment, at what point do you worry about the moment swallowing him? Yeah, exactly. I like that little
spit out
imagery
that
there. That's good. Wouldn't that be a concern of yours if the tables were turned and the Blackhawks were in this situation, wouldn't you have some reservations about going into a best of three, essentially, in the Stanley Cup final?
With Scott Darling.
Yeah. Scott Darling, a 25-year-old rookie. Andrei Vasilevskiy, a 20-year-old rookie. The word rookie is still would be scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Bishop, iffy health-wise.
Don't let the pleasure.
These aren't the Cubs.
Be swallowed up by the pressure or whatever the heck
there's
he
pressure.
Says.
You can enjoy it, but there's pressure. And if you're a rookie, you don't know how to process that pressure. The one thing that Corey Crawford said yesterday when he met the media I thought was interesting. He reminded everybody, you know, this is a team that has done this before, and the pressure doesn't faze them as much as it might if you haven't. It was a subtle reminder. I don't think it was intentional, but it was a subtle reminder that, you know, the Hawks are facing a best of three for all the marbles, but it's very similar to situations they have faced and conquered before.
Mm-hmm.
We Kane, we Sod, we Crawford. That's a T-shirt somewhere,
it
right?
It is a T-shirt.
Okay.
It is.
Oh, by the way, yeah, you're talking about T-shirts. We were talking about T-shirts the other day.
Mm-hmm. The Book of Edzo shirt.
Yeah. Did you burn that last night?
I did.
Okay.
I talked to Edzo after the show.
He's all cool?
He's like, it's not all peaches and cream, dude. When I don't agree with you, I'm coming at you.
I don't know that he said dude, but you added that for effect. But I know that
actually,
he wasn't.
Actually, he said pal.
Okay. He wasn't that bothered by what happened. And what happened to clueing people that weren't there for the awkward moment.
Eddie yelled
was,
at me.
It was, Eddie did yell at you, but you exacerbated the situation. We're
no
not going to revisit that. We're not
no
going to revisit
shot.
That.
Okay. I was 100% in the right.
Okay.
I just got in the way of a bus that had Edzo 16 on the side and went, boom.
Anyway, yesterday I get home from the show and, you know, it's summer vacation. My son's around. I didn't see him after the game that they went to on Wednesday night. Walk mm-hmm. in the house. Oh, yeah, sure. You talk about, think I'm a bandwagger.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing his brand new Brandon Saad jersey. You know, so, and it's like Brooke shiny. I mean, the red you can see from like he's, you know, a fire truck red. Brand new. Like, where'd you get that? Well, last night.
Mom bought it for me at the store.
Of course.
The Blackhawk store. Yeah. I went
but
shopping.
But he bought it before Saad was the hero. And he goes,
bandwagger.
Exactly. So that's convenient to wear that today. But
apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No. Well, and I did. And you know what? I wrote about Brandon Saad in today's paper. My column was on Brandon Saad and his ascension and how the Hawks are not going to let him get out of town. Can we just.
He's not going anywhere.
And I tweeted out last night as we are, you know, kind of, that's what we do. So tweet out the column and somebody came right back at me. Just a hashtag bandwagoner.
That's so phenomenal.
Bandwagoner.
Because I write about Brandon Saad on the day after he scores the game-winning goal, which I called the biggest goal of the season. Would you agree with that?
Biggest
goal of the season was the one Brandon Saad scored the other night. So far.
Just try to get some wood on it.
I love that.
That was good.
There's nothing. Those sticks are not wooden.
No, they're composite.
They're all sorts of different sort of materials.
Yeah, we were watching the highlight. Tom Cooper cut a highlight yesterday. Slow motion of Saad shooting.
Uh-huh.
And the stick is bent like that. And then it snaps back into form. It's pretty cool to see.
It's amazing what they can do with those sticks. But, yeah, to hear him say get some wood on it. But, yeah, you know, Brandon Saad scored a goal that I don't know that there's been a bigger goal. I mean, Jonathan Toews against Anaheim. Yeah, I mean, those.
Which Jonathan Toews won against Anaheim?
I'm talking about the one where he came back. We had the two in the.
They lost that game, so it couldn't have been that big.
They lost the game, but those were dramatic.
But how about the
dramatic.
Triple overtime winners?
Vermette?
Antoine Vermette in triple overtime. Marcus Kruger. Yeah, those are just as big, man, or we're not even here.
Okay, but you are here, and you are still alive to play a best of three for the Stanley Cup championship because you scored that goal. If not, if you drop down 3-1 going back to Tampa, you can kid yourself into that wasn't a must win, and you can be, you know, you can call the use semantics to say that, you know what, they didn't have to win that, so it's not a must win. But if you're down 3-1 going to Tampa and expecting to win 3 out of 4 against that team, forget it. Or 2 out of 3. Or what would they have to do? Yeah, they would have to win 3 of the next 4.
Out of the next 4.
Forget it.
All right. No, they'd have to. Yeah, they'd have to win 3.
Yeah, the next 4.
Three in a row.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Three in a row. Yeah.
Right. I was like, wait a minute. 3 out of 4. They would have already.
You don't like
the
game series?
Yeah. All right, we got to take a timeout. Coming up on the show, 9:25. Rick Hahn, Chicago White Sox general manager. 10:25. Chris Cook, Tribune Blackhawks beat writer. Ian Happ, University of Cincinnati outfielder and the Cubs' number 1 overall pick in the 2015 MLB draft. And Carson Fulmer, the White Sox number 1
All
pick
right.
at 11.
This is draft town today.
Got a lot to do. Plus, an interesting tattoo I spied on the bench yesterday. Did a little research on it in the NBA final. We'll find out the deeper meaning. See if David could tell us the deeper meaning of this tattoo.
You're sitting there watching the NBA finals and reading tattoos.
Correct.
Okay. I want to talk about Steve Kerr, who admitted something yesterday that coaches do all the time, but seldom do you hear them acknowledge it.
And Sox took a day off, and Cubbies win!
How about that?
Beat the Reds.
How about that? The Cubs, even though their starting rotation is tatters? Is that a good word?
It's in tatters.
It's in tatters.
Got to make a deal. Get her done, Jed. Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best rivalries going. It's Cubs-White Sox. North side, south side. Blue-black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago. Decide for your side with the Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with the hashtag DecideCubs or the hashtag DecideSox when you choose either online or in the bank. You'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more at Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. And also heard one of the nastiest things being done to a pizza. We'll get into
that. Okay, yeah, I don't like that. And 630 corrects me. Hey, Haw, it's we Kane, we Shaw, we Crawford. I put side in there because, you know, it's kind of his day.
Kane, we Shaw, we Crawford.
There we go.
All right, quick timeout. We'll come right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Well, we know the Cubs going to be in a building here for Game 6. So it doesn't matter how that approach goes. We don't want to look past anything that's going to happen in the next game, and, you know, that's our mindset.
There are moments where you let yourself daydream, and all of a sudden you catch yourself getting ahead of yourself, and you need to snap back to right here, right now.
It's definitely motivation, but right now I think our thought process is just on Game 5.
Coach Q, the mustachioed one, Jonathan Toews, and one Corey Crawford. He's the goalie.
Yeah, I think he's the goalie, yes.
Welcome back, Kevin Hawk, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus.
The Cup will be in the building on Monday night. That's a cool thing to consider. I think when you realize what they're playing for against Saturday night, it's still, there's going to be a Game 6. Then Game 6 feels like Game 7 to everybody. So there's great hockey ahead. It's been the closest series, as we have heard now, for about 24 hours since 1968. Isn't that remarkable when you think about it? One goal has separated each of the first 4 games. There has been no overtime, so it hasn't felt like some of the other series where you just feel downright spent at the end of one of those games. But these have been terrific hockey games, and I think they're only going to get better.
And don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure. Thank you, Rich Folk Jr. That's the correct phrase.
Yeah, that's the correct phrase. Did you not say it correctly?
I didn't. I said don't let the pleasure be overwhelmed by the pressure.
Okay. You botched that. Yeah, okay.
I did.
Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Anyway, the team that has had more shots on goal in every game of the series has been the loser,
mm-hmm.
which is just such a bizarre statistic.
It is bizarre, and it's bizarre that the Hawks are even tied in this series, having led, I think, only around 10% of the time in terms of the minutes played. And that is one of those statistics that doesn't make any sense. There are a lot of things that you look at this analytically and they don't make sense. But it ultimately doesn't matter. You're tied at 2. Game 5, who's going to be in net? What's the approach going to be from the Blackhawks? You get a sense that this is exactly where the Hawks want to be in that switch that you always worry about flipping. It's going to be on full blast tomorrow night.
You would hope.
In Tampa. Well, there'd be no excuse for it not to be.
312-235-2525. Again, Rick Hahn will join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk White Sox baseball. Who's in net tomorrow?
I think it will be Vasilevskiy. I think that we're going to, again, total speculation, because unlike Steve Kerr, John Cooper likes to keep things, you know, he doesn't mind keeping things close to the vest and not ever addressing what was really going on.
We'll get to that later in the show.
I think that Ben Bishop probably is hurt worse than anybody realizes. He certainly looked like a guy. He was so tentative in game 3 that it wouldn't shock me at all if we see Vasilevskiy the rest of the way. Even though Cooper said that, you know, Bishop is going to play again.
He said he will play at some point again in the rest of the series.
Maybe he's lying to the
media.
Let's
hear what he had to say.
With the extra day of rest, do you anticipate that there's a chance that Bishop could play on Saturday, or is this now Vasilevsky's nut?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could give you an answer to that. Bishop is going to play again in this series. There's no question. I just don't know which game.
I don't think that maybe he doesn't know. The injury situation could be far worse than anyone realizes. I still cannot look at that situation without thinking it's a huge advantage for the Blackhawks.
Maybe if we get Barkley or Vince Vaughn on, they know.
Yeah. Buy me dinner, please, and I will tell you. Who's going to buy him dinner in Tampa now?
Yeah. Maybe he ought to buy some people dinner. He's gotten 2 free meals for 20 people each time.
White Sox are going to be in town. Maybe Kenny.
What a weekend it is for Chicago sports fans in Central Florida.
Robin going to be there?
No, he's not going to be there. We can ask Rick Hahn about that decision at 9:25.
He's not going to say anything.
So, come on, Cap. That's no way to sell an interview coming up in 5 minutes. Hey, come listen to Rick Hahn at 9:25. He's not going to say anything.
No, not in that. He's not going to say anything about Robin. He's going to be like, hey, we totally support Robin on this. This is great. It's family comes first.
And for the next 2.5 hours, stay tuned, because we've got full nothingness ahead for you.
I asked my wife that this morning. She drove in with me. That's an adventure and it's in and of itself.
Whoa. Come on now. We can't go down that road again. Yeah. You were dissing her yesterday for her hockey acumen and how at games it's sometimes – a challenge.
I had
you.
Boomer and Carton on. She's like, do we have to listen to New York sports?
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, yeah, we actually do. I enjoy it. I'm listening. I'm laughing. Then I had Stern on. She doesn't like that.
It's not the New York sports you're listening to. It's the New York sports that you often quote.
Yeah.
The Big Capple.
The Big Capple, no question.
So what did you do? What did you listen to?
I had a little bit of Cochran. I had some Stern on, I had some Boomer and Carton, and I had, what was the other thing? Oh, I had the score on a little bit. So.
And what did she want to listen
to? Dial jumping. I even hit Dan McNeil for a little bit. What did she want to listen to?
Trying to make sure you don't leave out anybody, you don't want to offend anybody.
Pretty much. She. No, I didn't listen to Eric and Kathy. She wanted to listen to XM The Pulse.
Okay.
She thinks she's cool with her music taste. Anyway, how did we get into this now?
Little number 50, channel 57, I think, is the highway.
Is that the highway?
Yeah, I think that's the country music. And then there's, country Y2K.
I listen to channel 7, channel 8, and channel 9, best of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah. I like the 80s, the 80s station there.
There is a Sinatra station, and there's a Springsteen station.
So where were you going with this?
I don't remember. That's why I just said to you, how did we get on this?
You're talking about you're driving to work with your wife, and you were listening to Boomer and Carton, and they were saying something about the hockey series that's called the Stanley Cup Final that you are paying attention to.
No.
In between Cub games.
That wasn't it. I can't remember what it is. Oh, whatever.
Cubs and Reds today.
Cubs and Reds.
That's
this
a big one.
3 o'clock, 3:05.
Yeah. Is it think it's going to rain on them?
Dandy pitching matchup. Jason Hamill, Johnny Cueto.
Will you be yachting by Wrigley Field at any point this afternoon?
Will I be what?
Yachting. on your yacht.
Funny. You're a funny guy.
I wish people could see the pants, because they're pretty great. They're pretty good.
What, because I got white golf pants on?
You do. You look like you just got off the yacht. You don't have the hat on, and you're about to say hello to Gilligan.
No, no, this is more like Captain Steubing and I'm Gopher. The
right
Love
there,
Boat.
The Merit Club. Right there.
It's the Love Boat.
Play a little golf. I can't remember what the hell I had to tell
That's
you.
Okay, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Rick Hahn, White Sox general manager, and we got plenty of stuff to talk to him about.
By the way, did you know that Pizza Hut has a new pizza out? You
know
what the crust is?
Hot dogs.
Yeah, it's pigs in blanket. So it's like the dough with a dog in the middle. That just sounds awful.
I like a lot of the things that Pizza Hut has tried with their pizzas, the pretzel crust, you know, stuff they're trying to be creative. If I wanted a hot dog, I would buy a hot dog.
Right, but a hot dog pizza?
No. Nobody's ever said that it's a good idea to put together.
Horrific.
Let's have a hot dog and let's have a pizza, but let's not have a hot dog pizza.
Brutal.
Is it? You know, and the other thing is, like, pineapple on pizza. This is the worst idea since pineapple on pizza.
I disagree with you there. Hawaiian pizza?
No.
Canadian bacon and pineapple? Oh.
No, I want pineapple, like, separate. I want pineapple for breakfast.
I don't want pineapple on my pizza. You want it cold.
Yes, I want it cold. I want it in a juicer. I want pineapple as a fruit. I don't want it as a topping.
Not AMR, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. ABT. App.com is their website. As for our buddy, the one and only, the great Steve Shapiro. 312-235-2525. Rick Hahn joins us next.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Welcome back. Cap and Haw. Watch us every day on Comcast Sportsnet from 9 until noon. They replay the show noon to 3. Best of an hour every night at 11.
They call that the rewind.
The rewind. The Cap and Haw rewind.
They don't call it the best of necessarily because they don't want to put all the pressure on.
That's correct. Just a rewind of 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. 312-235-2525. Rick Hahn, fine general manager of the Chicago White Sox, good friend of the program and kind enough to join us this morning. Rick, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Rick.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking time for us. So your club is playing much better. You just sweep the team that some say had the best record and was the best rising team in the American League in Houston. You've taken 5 of 6 from them. How do you feel your club's playing now?
You know, we're improving. We definitely feel the arrow is pointing up, and we're starting to fulfill some of the promises we feel this team holds, especially on the offensive side. You know, frankly, the starting pitching has been fairly solid, if not real good. The bullpen has been fairly impressive, and it's really on the offensive side of the ball, so to speak, where we haven't quite met our own expectations or those that the fans and the public had, understandably, entering the season. But we definitely feel there's certain guys are starting to come around, and that's going to help relieve perhaps a little bit of the pressure that we've put on the pitching staff and the defense early in the season thus far.
You know, Rick, I think people always respect your candor and your ability to look at a situation and acknowledge what's going on. So I think in terms of Jeff Samardzija, it's hard to look at his season and not be disappointed. I think that you could look at the numbers and certain isolated starts. You see the guy that, you know, everybody wants to see and you thought you were getting. At the same time, overall, I think that, you know, whether it's the first inning numbers or just the recent stretch where he's really struggled, that's not the guy I think that can be a number two starter, the guy that I think he's falling short of expectations. How would you assess what's gone wrong, or if you want to say, with his season, and how would you evaluate what he's done to this point?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head, David. There's been certain starts. There was a 3 or 4 start stretch after his Milwaukee outing, where you saw exactly the guy that he's been in the past and the guy we traded for and the guy he expects himself to be. But unfortunately, there's also been a fair amount of hiccups along the way so that his overall numbers and the overall season hasn't met our expectations or perhaps more importantly, Jeff's own. You know this guy well. You know what kind of competitor he is and how high of a standard he holds himself to. So, you know, you and I can sit and say he hasn't quite been the player he's capable of being, but actually the first guy who would say that is Jeff himself. And he's working extremely hard. He's looking at different things ranging from how he prepares before he goes out for a start, given those first inning issues that you've mentioned and that certainly are fairly glaring in terms of what he's done in the past compared to what he's done this year, as well as certain mechanical things that have been discussed, as well as his pitch mix and the variety of the pitch selection that he's gone to in certain situations. So he has an extremely open mind on this. The fact of the matter is you're dealing with a guy who has had a great deal of success, who does have a very strong track record and is, knock on wood, currently healthy. So he should be able to get the ship righted and show us going forward a little bit more of that consistency that he's shown us in sports in terms of that number two type performance that you described earlier.
Talking to Rick Hahn, general manager, VP of the Chicago White Sox. Rick, let's talk about the offense, because coming into the season, we knew that Jose Abreu was going to be good, and he's been more than good, very solid, 283, 11 bombs. I had a question on Avisio Garcia simply because he had major, major shoulder surgery. He's your best hitter by average. He's got a 356 OBP. And then you look at a guy that I said, I'm not worried about Melky Cabrera, and he's down at 230 with a 297. What's the most stunning thing for you when you sit back in your office and you look at your team and you go, wow, I added Cabrera, I added Robertson, I added Samardzija, I made all these moves. I didn't see that coming.
I think it's the offensive struggles overall. That was the perhaps the most surprising element right here, because we did feel fairly insulated with a fair amount of guys who have those track records, who have performed at the high level. And I do think Melky would very likely, had we sat down at the start of the year, been fairly low on the list of concerns, given how professional the hitter he is, where he is mechanically, where he was in spring training, and where he was from a health standpoint. Now, he is hit into some bad luck. His batting average and balls in play is well below his career norm. He has, if you've watched each of our games, he's probably hit into the worst luck of anybody, with Abreu probably shortly behind him. And those are the kind of things that over the course of a season tend to correct themselves. So given his track record, given how he's making his outs, there is reason for optimism on Melky going forward. But it's not just him. You know, Adam Eaton started off slowly and has in recent weeks shown signs of being his old self. Adam LaRoche is traditionally a slow starter, but he's actually gotten off to a fairly decent start in terms of getting on base and the power coming around. And as you mentioned, Avi has actually been the one part where, when you look at that lineup earlier in the season, in terms of so-called key guys or regulars, he would understandably be one without a track record and coming off the injury, where you'd be like, you know what, not quite sure what we're going to get out of this kid who's, you know, still only 24 years old and still adjusting to the big leagues. But he's been fantastic. He's from an offensive standpoint, he's been what we have hoped for. He's starting to pull the ball, as you've seen in certain home runs in recent days, and maintaining that middle to opposite field approach that makes him special. So that's one of the reasons why we feel not only just coming off of this nice surviving a very tough road trip and sweep in Houston now at home, that there is certainly some upside to this club, and that the arrow's pointing up, is that there's a history of offensive performance from these guys that we expect them to start regressing towards in terms of moving up towards, actually, which is going to help this club.
Rick, when Micah Johnson was sent down, I think it was an attention getter. I think it spoke to how Robin wanted to instill some accountability. Micah had struggled running the bases and maybe defensively, and went down to Charlotte. I'm not sure how he's doing down there, but Carlos Sanchez comes up and certainly he reminds everybody why he's here. He's defensively, he's sound, he's made some great plays, and I think he gives you that defensive stability that maybe Micah Johnson did. At the same time, he struggled at the plate, and he's looked like a guy who at times is really not making those adjustments he needs to make at the major league level. What's your thought process moving forward at second base, and is it possible that Micah Johnson might get another look and after he has maybe addressed some of those issues down at AAA?
Yeah, when we sent Micah down and we told him directly, we view this as a temporary setback. We still think he has a very bright major league future, and I actually compared the situation to the ones we faced both with Joe Creedy and Aaron Rowan, each of whom got sent down after being up in the big leagues and obviously returned to be, for lack of a better description, White Sox icons of the last decade. So we very much believe in Micah's future. It's just a matter of wanting to get him more steady work at the minor league level to help iron out some of those defensive issues. We also felt as a club and the impact it was having on the pitching staff that we needed to create a little bit of stability in the infield from a defensive standpoint, and Carlos has certainly done that. As you pointed out, he really is a special defender up there, and not only is shown us the range and the reliability that we expected from him, but he's improving our ability to turn to double play and help taking some of that load off of the pitchers. All that said, he isn't performing up to the level he's capable of doing offensively either. He really wasn't brought here with the hope that he was going to help turn around the offense, given that he's hitting in the nine hole and that he's primarily what was primarily asked of him was to stabilize the infield defense. But we do think there's more there from an offensive standpoint. This is a kid who, although only 22 years old, has hit at just about every level after a brief adjustment period that we still believe he is going to produce and help us from an offensive standpoint. He's had a couple of key hits for us late in ball games, but we think we're going to start seeing a little bit more out of him as well. And certainly in the distant or down the road at some point, it's by no means inconceivable that Micah gets another shot. We really do believe he has a bright big league future.
I got to ask you about your catching situation because it's such an important part of the game, but you got to get some offense out of the position. And you got, you know, Tyler Flowers, I think, has a 244 OBP and he's hitting 202. Giovanni Soto's got a 281 OBP and he's hitting 220. At what point do you go, look, you guys are solid back there, but holy smokes, I got to get some offense from this position?
It's a real fair question, Cap, and I think the conflict, so to speak, is probably encapsulated by Chris Sale's quotes after his start the other night. Yet another fantastic outing by Chris, and some of the first words out of his mouth was praising Tyler Flowers and the role he played and keeping him on track and sticking to the game plan, exploiting the hitter's weaknesses that allowed Chris or helped Chris along the way of this dominant run he's been on. And that's really the balancing act. We've been fantastic, I feel, from a pitching standpoint. And although it's tough to quantify other than, you know, some perhaps pitch framing metrics, you really can attribute a fair amount of that to the catchers. So when you look at their performance and you try to evaluate their overall performance, it's not strictly the offensive numbers. That said, they certainly aren't performing up to the level that I think they would even want to perform at or believe they can perform at, and certainly that we projected them for at the start of the year. We expect that to improve as we get a little bit deeper into the season, and if it doesn't, over the course of the long term, you have to make a decision. Are you looking out of that position to maintain control or dominance, so to speak, out of the pitching staff, or are you looking more for an offensive first player? We believe we have enough strength elsewhere in the lineup that we are going to be able to perhaps not be up to a dominant level, so to speak, from a offensive standpoint from our catcher position. But that also relies upon other guys having to improve around the lineup in order to make that more palatable. It's something we're aware of, and I think it was heading into the season, perhaps one of the areas, if you look strictly from an offensive standpoint, it'd be one of our positions that people would understandably point to and say, what exactly are you going to get from an offensive catch contribution? We just evaluated a little bit broader than just those numbers, though.
Rick, your team goes down to Tampa this weekend, follows the Blackhawks down there, plays a weekend series against the Rays, and your manager will be in California. Robin Ventura is going to attend the graduation of his daughter. And I think a lot of people can understand and respect the fact that, you know, knowing Robin and, you know, your family's milestones like that certainly take precedent. I guess the question, though, that has been raised, and you're obviously on here so we can ask you about it, how was it determined that, you know, he would get all weekend off, or the difference between a 2-day trip and a 3-day trip? Because
no charters out there?
That's on me. That's 100% on me. Robin's obviously, as people may well know, he's from California. The graduation is in Southern California. Takes place either, I think, late Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. And Robin said that he would hop on a red-eye, I'm not even sure if it was a charter or not, late Saturday night and arrive in Tampa early Sunday morning, manage with us Sunday afternoon, and then fly to Pittsburgh with the club Sunday evening. Quite frankly, I told him that was too much. That was too much back and forth, and that was not necessary, that we had confidence he'd be in touch with the coaching staff. Mark Parent's obviously been by his side ever since Robin started in the position and knows exactly what we're hoping to accomplish there. So I specifically told him, don't leave your daughter's celebration early just to fly all the way across the country through the middle of the night and then hop on another plane up to Pittsburgh. Instead, join us on Monday and be rested and refreshed and spend the appropriate time with your family. So that's on me.
I understand that because, look, I don't want to minimize anybody's value of being in the dugout or being present, but I do think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, you probably have a long-term view of this, that stamina matters and sleep deprivation is going to take several days maybe to overcome. And I'm not comparing, you know, travel schedules to Major League Baseball managers or players, because that's a grind. But as somebody who travels a little bit, the extra day that you're talking about giving him to kind of recover could be a huge thing just in what next week looks like to him.
Oh, I agree. And look, he wasn't going to play in that game Sunday. And if it were a player, it would be a little bit different in terms of a guy who's going to contribute on the field or perhaps make a play. From a managerial and a decision-making standpoint, we've got every confidence in Mark to be Robin's proxy for that extra day. And again, I felt it was important for him to be there for his family, enjoy it with his family, not be rushed out of there and not show up in Tampa and then extending into Pittsburgh and back home next week, potentially fatigued. So that was my decision. Robin laid out his plan initially to be there as quickly as possible, and I'm the one to put the kibosh on it.
Well, I appreciate you clearing that up, because it's amazing, you know, with social media, what goes out there. What, when you look at the trade deadline and you have to make a decision, what I'm going to do, I'm going to add this guy, I'm going to take that guy out, or I'm going to divest, when do you make that decision?
You know, it's a great question, and it is a bit of a balancing act, and it's quite frankly one that I enjoy. And you know, annually around the time of the trade deadline or around the GM meetings, the notion of moving back the trade deadline into sometime in August comes up. And part of the reason for that is so that teams would have more data, so to speak, about where they sit and the likelihood of making the playoffs, and therefore make a little bit more of an informed decision about whether to buy or sell. For me, I kind of feel it's important for clubs to know their clubs extremely well, and the fact that you may not have all the information at the end of July is part of what potentially could separate good clubs from bad clubs, in that you know whether it's real, or you know whether you're chasing, you're throwing good money after bad, so to speak. And it's incumbent upon the club to, in the front office, to really know their situation better than anybody else and make the right decision. That said, given that you only have 3.5-4 months of data, you might not potentially be in a position where you have a true read. So it comes down to looking at the health of your roster, looking at the performance trends of your roster, looking at the rest of your division, the rest of your schedule, and your likelihood of making up ground versus the guys you are chasing. Now, our division, as you've noticed in recent weeks, has tightened up a little bit. I believe it's 7 games from first place to last, which is not totally unexpected given the talent in it, which makes potentially the division more attainable. That said, the reason it's tightened up is it's extremely tough. Obviously, even looking at the club that currently is in last place in Cleveland, I believe, they have 4 dominant starting pitchers, and it's certainly not anyone you're going to, you know, take for granted on your schedule. So we play in a tight division. We play in one that's tough. We play in one that I think every team reasonably has hopes for the future for the remaining months of this season. And it's going to come down to, at the trade deadline, a decision about how realistic are your chances to win this year and therefore prioritize this year versus a little bit of a longer-term view. Given where we sit today, it's good that we have another few weeks or so to make that decision, because, as we said, we feel frustrated or disappointed about how we initially got out of the gate here, but we certainly feel that the arrow is pointing up and brighter days are ahead.
Last thing, Rick, for the second year in a row, you drafted what many people believe was the best pitcher in college baseball. Carson Fulmer comes to you from Vanderbilt.
And he'll be on our show coming up in a couple hours.
So we're going to talk to him at 11:25. What about him stood out to you, and how reasonable is it to expect him to be on a similar type of time frame as Carlos Rodon, or is that just unrealistic?
you know, it's funny. Because of Chris Sale, because of Carlos Rodon, and even to an extent because of Gordon Beckham a few years prior to that, we've sort of gotten on this path where you take a guy in the draft and immediately people start talking about how quickly he's going to help us in Chicago. And as much as we say, you know, well, those are unique situations and that's not the normal development path, we keep having guys such as Carlos and Chris and Gordon sort of defying the odds, so to speak, and making it to Chicago quickly. Carson is a guy who we don't want to put any, you know, specific expectations in terms of his arrival. However, he does have the arsenal and the makeup that he could very easily handle, or very conceivably, I should say, handle an expedited development path. You know, he's got a plus fastball, plus plus breaking ball, and plus plus makeup, all of which would help him survive in the very near future in Chicago. That said, we haven't had him in our uniform, so to speak, yet. We haven't had him on campus and had the ability to work with him on an every fifth day schedule, or even perhaps this year work with him out of the bullpen, given his load at Vanderbilt thus far. But he's a guy with considerable upside and the ability to capitalize that on that fairly quickly. We're thrilled to get him. We don't. We certainly hope not to be picking this high again in the foreseeable future. But to be able to come out of the last two drafts with what we feel are the most pro ready college arms in the draft is certainly an accomplishment we're very pleased with.
Hey, as we let you go, people forget how long the season is. The Cardinals have scored the third fewest runs in the NL this month because they lose Holiday struggling. Adams is hurt. They lost Adam Wainwright. You know, they get out in that huge lead and everyone goes, season over. Sox struggle. People are like, fire Robin, unload this, do that. And people forget, holy smokes, we got the rest of June, all of July, all of August, all of September. The whole thing could flip.
Rick, basically Cap's talking to himself there.
I like what he's saying, though. It's early.
Look, I'm not a columnist that just fires. I just laid back.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that lay ahead of us, and for us, we feel they're going to be positive. So it's a long season. It's part of what makes the game great. And, again, our expectations remain high, just as they were when we got to Glendale.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Have a great weekend.
A lot of gray area out there, Rick. Just patience, calm, and let the whole thing. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Very well said.
Thank you. Have a great weekend,
you,
buddy.
Rick.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
You are unbelievable. You are unbelievable.
I painted you as the guy who's black and
right,
white. Me as the guy who's calm. I'm not irrational ever.
Hey, by the way, I'm glad, though, that they have Carson Fulmer perhaps on an expedited developmental path.
Tell you what.
I mean, that's the vocabulary right there Rick Kahn brought to our show.
Campus. Developmental.
He was really good.
He was great.
He was insightful. Glad we had him on.
Phenomenal. Yeah. So appreciate him taking time. 312-235-2525. Again, the rest of the guest list includes Chris Cook at 1025. Ian Happ, the Cubs' number one pick from Cincinnati. University of Cincinnati outfielder, 1055 and 1125. White Sox number one pick out of Vanderbilt. Right-handed pitcher Carson Fulmer. So we'll have all of that. We come back. I want to talk a little NBA with you.
Okay.
Okay?
Whatever that is. Oh, the NBA?
The NBA.
Okay.
Okay? And an interesting tattoo observation.
Okay.
We'll see how good you are, how insightful, how deep you think.
Let's go to break.
We'll be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Welcome back, Kevin Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN+. That, of course, is the
90s
theme
flashback
song from the TV show Friends.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that.
Well, just in case they don't.
90s
so,
flashback.
Kyrie Irving. I'll be there for you. Great song. Kyrie Irving, who's out, has a tattoo on the meaty portion of his arm that says Friends. It's got the logo.
Right.
And so some intrepid young reporter asked him, you know, are those people that were important in your life and people that got you to this point, why do you think he said he likes that tattoo on him.
Because he's a big Ross and Rachel fan?
He's a fan of the show.
That's why he got
it. That's why he got the tattoo. Because I'm a fan of the show.
That is...
I thought you said this was going to be a deeper meaning sort of thing. So he's a fan of the show, so he got the tattoo.
I said I would ask David if there was a deeper meaning.
Oh.
I would have thought it says friends, and those are like all the people that motivated him to get to this point. No, dude, I just like the show. That's what he told the guy. I just like the show.
How many Seinfeld tattoos are out there?
Yeah, it's like if I was going to put paint on or ink, what do they call it? Ink?
Color sure.
Ink? Yeah, whatever they call it.
Okay. It's a tattoo.
Well, yeah, but if you want to sound cool, it's to have an ink. And I'm never going to get a tattoo because I'm terrified of needles. Terrified. I could break out in hives.
Is that the only reason you don't have a tat?
No, I'm just not a tat kind of guy.
Okay.
You have any?
No.
Okay.
No. Do you think I have a tattoo?
No.
I don't know. Am I a tattoo guy?
I wouldn't think.
I don't know. I don't.
Does your wife?
No, she does not.
No, maybe that's a big thing in Scotland. I don't know. Okay.
Scottish tattoos?
Maybe.
Scottish women and their tattoos? It's a big thing in the yoga community.
It is.
There's quite a few. You see some very creative tats in the yoga studios.
I mean, what do you do
studios?
If Blair's a sophomore or going to be a sophomore?
Oh, he's going to be a sophomore.
Okay. 3 years from now, he's off in college.
3 years from now, he's off in college.
He's at.
Where's he living?
He's living at school.
Oh. No, where's his permanent address?
Your house.
Okay. Just asking that for clarification.
Yeah. And he comes home for the summer.
Yeah.
End of freshman year. Blair takes his shirt off.
No.
You go, what in the heck is that?
Doubt that would happen.
Mm-hmm. So did we, Mindy and I.
I remember the story.
We found out in an emergency room.
Wouldn't be happy about it necessarily. I'm not a big tattoo guy.
Me either.
I think they're way too permanent. That's the thing about tattoos.
Yeah.
They don't go away.
No.
You know? So I would encourage him, strongly encourage my 14-year-old son to not fall in love with the idea of a tattoo.
Yeah,
just not for me.
We found out in an emergency room.
Other people might be for. Not for me.
Nick's laying on a gurney to cut the shirt off. He's thinking he has a compound fracture of his leg. And my wife's first words out of her mouth, what the blank is that, Nick? Not, are you okay?
I could understand that reaction.
She was not happy.
That would be similar to my probably response. I don't want to get carried. My wife, we've talked about this a little bit because, you know.
Different generations.
You figure that's probably.
An issue.
An issue. Going to be a potential issue.
So. Anyway, 312-235-2525. By the way, my buddy John Schultz. He's director of sales for the McDonald's team at Dr. Pepper Snapple Group. He lost his son, Michael, 15 or 16 years ago to brittle bone disease, osteogenesis imperfecta. The annual golf outing, Miracle Michael Golf Outing, is July 13th. I'll be out there 1 p.m. at White Eagle. An evening of fun after golf with cocktails, dinner, world-class live and silent auction items. I'll be there, Dan Hampton, Glenn Kozlowski, Otis Wilson, Jim Thornton, comedian Pat McGann. It's an awesome event. Go to their website, www.miraclemichael.org. MiracleMichael.org. Love to have you come out there. We have a great, great time. It's one of the most enjoyable days of the summer. So I hope you will all come out and check that website out and see if you can make a donation or help out. MiracleMichael.org. We've got
great
Chris
event.
Cook coming up in about 25 minutes. Talk Blackhawks hockey. Do you know the Illinois Treasurer safeguarding more than $2 billion in recovered cash? If you're an Illinois resident, some of it might be yours. The Illinois Treasurer's iCash program wants to return your cash and property to you. It's simple to discover and claim what's yours. Visit IllinoisTreasurer.gov, click on the iCash link, and search your name. One out of every four Illinois adults discovers property to claim when they search at IllinoisTreasurer.gov. So search today. Visit IllinoisTreasurer.gov to get started. We'll take time out. Get some of your calls. Quentin on the west side. Warriors win in a blowout. Be right back.